There is a posik in Tehillim, Kapitel Lamed Zayin. Posik says, Goyel al Hashem darkecho, commit your way to Hashem, uvetacholov, and rely on Hashem. Vehu yase, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will act. So the posik says, Goyel al Hashem darkecho, the posik says, commit your way to Hashem, uvetacholov, and rely on Hashem, rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vehu yase, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will act. So B'chaim Elojin once said a pshat in the meaning of this posik, Goyel al Hashem darkecho uvetacholov. Obviously the posik is talking about bitochin, something we spoke about this past Shabbos. Uvetacholov. It's important that a person really relies and has trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And B'chaim Elojin pointed out, and he said, that the difference between something that is round as to something that is square, if someone needs to transport an item, memokim lamokim, from one place to another, assuming let's say you have a box, it's not simply an empty box, it's a box that's filled with schayre, and you have to carry it from place to place. If it's a square box, then there's no real aid, so there's no other alternative, but really you have to pick it up and you have to carry it. However, if you're transporting something that's round, like barrels of wine, he said, not necessarily you always have to carry it. But being that it's round, what you can do is put it on the ground and just roll it. And actually, you just push it, you begin, and once you start it off, it just continues to roll automatically. Sir Chaim pointed out that the truth is, we have to understand what is our role in Ishtadlus, how much are we really doing, and how much really is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing. The truth is, all that we are doing is only the Aschol, we're only doing the beginning. But all the rest of it, even though we may not see it, we may not recognize it, it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we interpreted the pasuk as follows. Goyel al Hashem darkecho. Goyel means all you're doing is starting the role. Goyel al Hashem darkecho. Uvtacholov. However, you trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'hu yaseh, he will be doing it. When it comes to doing things that we have to do, we realize that it is not our power, it is not our intellect. It appears that way. But the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that blesses our acts and gives it the success that ultimately it is. It is the bitochin, and according to the degree of the bitochin that we have, we'll be successful in what we are doing. But actually, it is only goyel al Hashem. Goyel means from galgal, from rolling it. That is the idea. That is the understanding. That is what David HaMelech is trying to tell us, that we should realize that, in fact, we only start things off, but in truth and in reality, it is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu who really completes the act and gives it the success that we enjoy. Another interesting thing is that Rav Shach, a number of years ago, he pointed out that when the Shalos Yeshuvos of Rabbi Kiveger came out, and it was brought to Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, he saw it for the very first time. He saw the Shalos Yeshuvos of Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Chaim was tremendously in the spoil. He really was very, very impressed, he says, by the tremendous scholarship and the Gadlus B'Torah of Rabbi Kiveger. But in particular, as Rav Shach pointed out, the comment that Rabbi Chaim Volozhin made regarding the Shalos Yeshuvos of Rabbi Kiveger, the comment that he made was, and he said as follows. He says, as the lomdus and the scholarship that Rabbi Kiveger displays in every tshuva, said Rabbi Chaim, I can also do that. However, what I can't do is, the fact is that he's able to respond almost immediately as he receives the shaila. I need a good couple of days, he says, first to work through the sugya, and then be able to write the tshuva. In other words, he pointed out, as Rav Shach made note, many of the tshuvas, if you go through Rabbi Kiveger, you'll see it starts, Esmoil higiyani shelosoy, yesterday I received your shaila, and today he's already writing the tshuva. To write a tshuva with such scholarship sometimes takes days, weeks, it could even take you months to be able to really to arrive and to be able to really to produce these kind of tshuvas. So Reb Chaim says, I can also produce these kind of tshuvas, but not at the speed, at the way Rabbi Kiveger is able to do it. That was particularly godless, how Reb Chaim Volozhin pointed out in terms of Rabbi Kiveger. So it's interesting to point out we are on the road to Shavuos quite soon. Lag BaOmer is coming up. Lag BaOmer is already 2/3 of the way there. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer was a Talmud of Volozhin. but not from Reb Chaim. He was a Talmid Lashon, the Netziv, who was a descendant of Reb Chaim. And Reb Zalman Meltzer once told Reb Shach was his nephew, because Reb Shach was the son-in-law of Reb Zalman's sister. So Reb Zalman Meltzer once told Reb Shach, he says, that I remember a hearing of a Lashon from the Netziv himself. And the Netziv quoted a Ran, that the Ran says in one of his drushes, and by the way, the same thing also is brought down in the Shloka Kodesh. The Shloka Kodesh writes that in the same way that we all know that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Adin, Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. Because that was, by the way, that was the first time that Adam Arishon was Oymed Bedin, also, as we know, was on Rosh Hashanah, and that became the Yom Adin for all of mankind. Year after year, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin. We also know that on Sukkot, it's the Yom Adin, is the day of judgment regarding water. How much water there will be in the world? Will there be enough rain? Will there not be enough rain? And so on and so forth. Whether the world will merit, there should be an abundance of rain, or maybe possibly, Chas v'Shalom, a shortage of rain. Because Sukkot is the yontif of pouring wine, instead of wine only, with water, Nisuch HaMayim. So being that it's the yontif of water, Sukkot, that's the Simchas Beis HaSheva, what it's all about. So therefore, Gemara tells us that Bechag Nedoin and Alamayim. Pesach, we know, is a day of judgment regarding Tevuah. Regarding Tevuah, regarding corn, regarding grains. Because on Pesach, what we do is we bring the Korban HaOmer, which is the Mincha, which is the meal offering, which is from barley. Says the Ran, and says the Shloka Kodesh, so too, just like every season is the Yom Adin for its particular situation, says the Ran and the Shloka Kodesh, says Shavuos, which is the Zman of Matan Torah to Klal Yisrael, that's the Yom Adin of Kabbalah Satoyah for each individual. In other words, Shavuos will be determined how much Torah you're going to have that year. Which basically means is it behooves very strongly that on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, that we put in extra effort in actually being mispalel and being davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should be zeichet to really have our great share in Torah, and we should be zeichet to Kabbalah HaTorah on the highest level possible. Because Shavuos is the Yom Adin for Kabbalah HaTorah for each individual. So in the same on Rosh Hashanah, we spend a lot of time davening, because we know it's a Yom Adin. This is, we're praying for our lives, for our panose, for everything else. Shavuos is also a very important time. It's for our spiritual standing in terms of how much Torah we will acquire. So again, is mentioned in the Ran and also in the Shloka Kodesh. Just as an aside, Rav Zalman said that he also heard from the Netziv, that the Netziv says, in order to really have the Siyata Dishmaya, the Schus, in really understanding Torah properly, it's all min HaShemayim, and therefore the Netziv said that on a particular day, on any particular day, if he did not daven with proper kavon, Ahava Rabba, where we say, V'hoyer Einenu B'Soy Resecho, he said, that day, he did not have the schus to really be mechadish, he says, a real good chiddush in Torah. In other words, the chiddush in Torah and the shurim that he said, was he credited to the fact that he had special siyata d'shmaya, and it was because of his tefillah, because of his davening, really being mispalto, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give him that schus. In a day that he did not really say with enough kavon, I can imagine that Siv Mistam did, but he took himself to task that he did not say it with his level of kavon al kaponim. He said he was not zoicha that day to be mechadish chiddush Torah. So it's an interesting thing. So Zalman said that he heard it from the Netziv. It's also mentioned in the Chuvas Marsham. Marsham was later. The Marsham says it b'shem the Rebbe of Shmelke of Nicholsburg, who was earlier, way earlier. Rebbe Shmelke of Nicholsburg already said that, and the Marsham, the Chuvas Marsham, the Rishon wrote, Poisek Hador. So he mentions that he said that a day that he was not mispalel Ahava Rabba appropriately, that day he did not have the Siyata Dishmai to be Mechadish, a Chiddush, a real Chiddush Shalemis. So in terms of how much Torah we will learn, or how much Torah we'll be able really to comprehend, and really to be able to acquire, we need a Siyata Dishmai. It's like anything, it's Min HaShemayim, but we have to do our part. And we have to be mispalel with the Dam HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us the Schus, to be able to enjoy as much Torah as possible. So it's an interesting thing. The Chazon Ish once pointed out, and the Chazon Ish said, he said, and this is written, he said, B'li Yerushamayim, he says, Yefshar sheyedah ha'odam lilmod al derech emes. Without Yerushamayim, a person who's not really an observant yid, who follows b'derech ha'Torah, cannot really have the true understanding in Torah. You can understand on a superficial level, on a simple level, but really to be able to go into the depth of Torah, he says, you have to have Yerushamayim. Because Torah is Chochmas Hashem, it's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to be able to have the schus to understanding Torah. That year Shemayim said the Chazonish, Yefshir Sheyeda Odom, it's impossible that a person should really know Torah derech emes. And then he went further. Ulam, he says, Yesh b'nei Odom, there are people, Sheheim Yerushimayim, they are Yerushimayim, and still they don't know how to learn. I mean, Chazonish's level. Real learning, he said, you know why? Because there's something else which is mentioned in the Mishnah of Avos, B'memches devarim atayra niknes behem. That there are 48 things, there are 48 particular character traits that a person is supposed to have, the Mishnah says in Avos in the last Perek Shishi. And these are crucial in order to really have a complete and a whole wholesome kinyan in Torah. And therefore you can be really a Yerushimayim. But if you do not work on the 48 kinyonim, on the 48 drachim and paths that a person has to have these particular character traits, midos, then again there will be a deficiency. And you will not have the real schus, the real schus of comprehending Torah to the maximum of your ability. So again, this is the avoiding the Yemei HaSfira, as the Alter from Kelmus pointed out. We count Sfira 49 days. So he says 49 days of Sfira is the Hachonah, the preparation to Kabbalah Satayra. First 48 days is each day to acquire one more midah of the Memches, Devorim, Shatayra, Nikas Bem. We need 48 days to work on another midah. 48 days is 48 Kinyonim. And on the 49th, once we did all 48, so Chazar over to repeat and to review, to really make sure that we have it down pat, and then we are ready truly for Kabbalah Satayra. So this again is one of the major things that we have to realize when it comes to learning Torah, that there are prerequisites. There are prerequisites. Learning Torah is not simply an intellectual exercise, that all you need is simply a human material brain, like studying anything else, whether it's mathematics, philosophy, whatever it is, because Torah is Chochmas Hashem, it's Hashem's wisdom. And therefore, it demands and behooves a behavior that is consistent and is homogeneous with the Kedushas HaTorah and the purity of Torah. So we go here, Rabbi Tzai. We are now Shar Aleph Perek Chof. In Shar Aleph Perek Chof, let me just mention, this is really the last perek of the sort of the Kabbalistic items that Reb Chaim Volozhin here brings down. And again, it was our decision to not to skip them, and we sort of tried to make some light out of it. Let me just point out, if you take a look a little bit at the handout that we have over here, let's take a look at the sheet. Okay, the handout, as we see, is from a Sefer Kabbalah, which was compiled by a person who wrote many, many, many Sfarim, translated many, many Sfarim, if you see. So the Sefer is actually called Kabbalah, from Yanke Finkel. So he brings here, first of all, this is something, when we had the Shurim on the Tanya, we went into it more deeply. The reason I'm mentioning it here is because this is something that will help us understand one of the lines in Perek Chof coming up right now in the Nefesh HaChaim. We'll understand it. We actually spoke about it already, but there's nothing like seeing it right here on the page. If we see here, the first thing is you take a look. We spoke about that there are really Eser Sfiris. There are the ten really spiritual forces of energy. And if you take a look here, you see the first three on top is Keser, Chochma, Bina. You have 1, 2, and 3. Keser, Chochma, Bina. Now these are the highest levels. These are the top of the 10. Then it's followed by another 7, starting with number 4, which is Chesed, and Gevura, which is on the left side, is number 5. Then the middle is Tiferes. Then number 7, which is Netzach, and Hoyd, which is number 8, and 9, which is Yesod, and 10, which is Malchus. When we went through Tanya in various Shurim, we went through this. Our objective is not to go through each and every one now, but just to point out that these ten forces of energy that we see over here, the first three again, Keser, Chochma, Bina, and then the next 7 that we have, these 10 forces exist in all three levels of the soul. In other words, we have Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Nefesh comprises of these 10 forces that we have here, as we see here on the sheet, Keser, Chochma, Bina, and so on and so forth. Then also Ruach, which is the next level, which is the higher level, which is the next level, which is above Nefesh. Ruach also consists of these Eser Sfirois, of these 10. And then Neshama, which is the highest level, right, which is the highest level. And as we already learned, as Reb Chaim told us, that once Adam Rishon was chayte, he sinned, so the neshama, which originally was contained within the guf ha-Adam, no longer is contained within our bodies, but rather the neshama, which is the highest level of the soul, actually only hovers over the head of a person, and a person is only able to glean the sparks, as it were, the sparks of his neshama, according to how worthy he is, according to how his avoda allows him to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will glean all the more sparks of Kedusha from the Neshama area. So these 10, as we see, these Esses Spheres, as we see here, these 10 forces, these 10 spheres, we call them the 10 emanations, basically, consist by Nefesh, and also Ruach and Neshama. Now we pointed out, Keser, as you see, which is the top one, Keser, which is the top one, so in the level of Nefesh, Keser is the top, so it touches, right, the bottom of the upper of Ruach. Now the bottom is Malchus, as you can see here. Malchus is number 10. So Ruach, which is the higher level, which is right above Nefesh. So the bottom is always Malchus. So Keser, which is the peak, which is the top of Nefesh, right, will be right underneath Malchus of Ruach. And again, and Keser of Ruach, which is the top, which will be the peak of Ruach, will be right underneath Malchus of Neshama. Because Malchus is in the bottom, Keser is on top. So Nefesh is on the bottom, Ruach is on top of Nefesh. So the top of Nefesh is underneath Ruach. The top of Nefesh, which is the energy called Keser, which is the highest level, is on the bottom of Ruach, which is Malchus. And the same thing, Ruach. The Keser of Ruach is right underneath the bottom of Malchus, which is, again, of Neshama. So we learned that if a person, if he does certain particular Averis, with a certain particular Averis, which is through action, through Maisim, he sins by doing various pulis, various actions. These deeds, these actions, basically taint and tarnish the Chelik Nefesh. The Chelik Nefesh corresponds to action, to Maisim, to deeds, which is the lowest part, the lowest portion of the three levels, Nefesh. A person is capable of doing an Aver which is so serious that the Oynish that the Torah says is Koris, as we learned. Koris means to be cut off. Now, Koras, as Reb Chaim already taught us, which is the good news, there's the good news and the bad news. The bad news is that if you do particular Averis, Koras means the Chelik Nefesh becomes cut off. Becomes cut off from spiritual source. Really becomes cut off. And therefore, it is not able anymore to enjoy any spiritual energy because it's cut off from its source, Chelik Nefesh. However, the good news is, first of all, Ruach is never cut off. It can be tarnished, it can be tainted. That's the higher level of the soul. And Neshama certainly cannot be affected. Koris is only limited. Koris, per se, is only limited to the Chelik of Nefesh. We had that. But the good news is, even in that part, that even within the Chelik Nefesh, what can be cut off? Only the lower nine. In other words, Keser still remains connected to Ruach. So if you look here on the sheet, which portions of Nefesh? Koris, again, is limited to Nefesh, starting from number two. Number two, number three, number four, number five, number six. All the lower nine. However, Keser still remains intact in order to be able to retrieve, to bring up again. If a person does tshuva, he should be able again to reconnect to Ruach, and Ruach is connected to Nisham and so on. So the good news is that even when one is Chayiv Koris and his Chelik Nefesh has been cut off, the good news is that it's not cut off completely. Not all ten forces are cut off. It's only the lower nine. In other words, starting from Chochmah, because Chochmah is number two. Right, the peak is number one. The one beneath it is Chochmah, number two. Right, even lower, number three, and even lower, even lower, even lower. So starting from Chochmah, which is down to the bottom, which is only the lower nine. These can become cut off. But the Cheli Keser, even if you did on a Veir of Koris, the Cheli Keser, so that portion of the Nefesh still remains. That's the portion again that makes contact, so to speak, with Ruach. That remains in order to be able to come back and reconnect and become unified, as it were, before through tshuva. So having said that, now we can begin. And take a look at what Reb Chaim is saying here, starting here in Perek Chof. As Reb Chaim starting here in Perek Chof. And what we'll see, and what we'll see here is, in fact, what we're going to see is Reb Chaim starts off here. There's a few paragraphs. First, he talks about the level of tshuva, how we go about tshuva, removing, in other words, a stain from the nefesh. Then we'll talk about how does it work, removing a stain from ruach, and how we go about, again, he talks about neshama, which we'll leave that for a little bit later. So Reb Chaim begins, the Nefesh HaChaim begins as follows. Again, he wants to tell us how we remove a stain from Nefesh. Once we did an Avera, as a result, we stained the Nefesh, right? And even if we stained it in the worst way, as we said, the lower nine levels of the Nefesh has been torn away, has been sullied, has been totally been dejected. How are we able to remove the stain and reconnect the Nefesh back to its original state? And we'll see that the way it's going to work is, it's through its connection to Ruach and Neshama. And the way he works it out is as follows. And Reb Chaim goes on to say, Reb Chaim says, Ubir protis seder tikunam v'hiskashrusam ayidei atshuva. In order to understand how we are able to be misakin, to rectify the levels of Nefesh and Ruach by being connected, interconnected one with the other, how does it work? And Reb Chaim, through tshuva, how does it work? In other words, what is the roadmap? What is really the spiritual roadmap, right, that enables to bring back the neshama from its separation? What is the roadmap? How does the nefesh become revitalized again? How does nefesh become revitalized? How does ruach become revitalized after you do tshuva? Well, first, when you sinned, says Reb Chaim, shekasher poga me'odom b'chinas nafshoy. When a person sinned now on the level of nefesh, this is how he begins. Then I'll talk about on the level of Ruach. Because again, through action, through Maisa, a person basically tarnishes the chelik of Nefesh. So when a person is pagan, when a person sins and he stains the Bechin of Nefesh, Oyaf, even if he did worse, he said, not only he stained it, but it's very possible, he said, Oyaf im goram chas visholem, it's possible sometimes that he caused shenifseku v'nichrusu, this is the chorus that we just spoke about, that the nefesh has been torn away. Kola teisha, you see here the nine. Sfiroiseho michochmu lamato. Now that we have the sheet, we can understand what he's talking about. Because there's 10. If you start with keser on the top, you have 10. But keser, as we said, is never torn away. Keser, the port, the keser, which is the peak of nefesh, is never torn away. The most that a person can do damage to nefesh is tear away the nine, the lower nine. That's what Reb Chaim, this explains the words of what Reb Chaim is saying, shenifseku v'nichrusu kol ha'teisha sfiroiseo, because these are the eser sfirois, the 10 forces of energy. 9 of them can be torn away. The 9 levels of the nefesh can be torn away. Mechochmo lamata. Chochmo is number 2, if you remember, right underneath keser. So from chochmo down, all the way down, a person through his averis can really cause all those 9 levels to be torn away. Mehiskashrusa hanal. Hanal means haniskelel, from being connected, right, from being connected to each other, and then to ruach and to neshama. Even more, a person sometimes can sin so terribly, as he points out, that vateret peloim leimke mitzulois haklipois chaz v'sholem. Nefesh HaChaim says that it's possible to a person to sin so terribly that he sinks to the bottom of the morass of evil, so low. That's what he means. Vateret ploim, which means unimaginable depth he can ascend. He can fall so deeply, he says, le'imke to the depth, le'imke mitzulois haklipois, chaz v'sholem, which means he really sinks to the bare bottom, to the bottom of the morass of evil. Nevertheless, says Reb Chaim, don't despair. Never think that it's all lost, but rather, oz al yedei vidui devarim. But if a person with sincere verbal confession, he says, be'emes, sincere, me'um kedaliba, from the depth of his heart. In other words, confession is not merely a formula, just go and confess. It's meaningless. Confession really means, when a person confesses to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it means he acknowledges that he did wrong and therefore commits himself and he resolves truly he's going to change his ways. Simply confessing doesn't mean anything. It's a bizarre to confess and you don't mean it at all. So the union of confessing only has meaning if in fact he's going to go in the direction of his confession. If he goes in the direction of his confession, then it has meaning. Sean Shadron used to point out how it looks like, and he put it like in sort of like a ridiculous way. He says a person sort of, he confesses, but he has no notion, but he really has no real intent of changing his ways at all. He confessed. So what's that going to do for him? He's still going the same way that he's going on. So he gave the following motion, the following example. He says, a person bought a ticket to go on a boat or on a train, let's say, in a particular destination. supposed to be going north. Supposed to be going north. Turns out, gets on a train. The train is going south. He realizes he's on the wrong train. So instead of getting off the train, so he starts walking backwards on the train. Now the train is still going north, but he thinks by walking backwards on the train, you're still going in the wrong direction, he says. You have to change course, he says, to get off that train. Person starts confessing, and he's still going the same direction, the old direction, he says. Doesn't mean anything. It's like walking backwards on a train that's taking in the other direction. You can walk backwards all you want. You're going along where the train is going, he says. Vidui to have any meaning is if you have to really change direction. You have to get on the right train, he says. You get on the right train. That's the vidui. That's what Reb Chaim says. Ozal yidei vidui devarim be'emes mum kedalibo. He says, he really speaks out his words coming down really from the depth of his soul. If a person really confesses, he says, sincerely, you have no idea what those words do. And Reb Chaim tells us amazing things. Again, how far-reaching those words automatically, they are whisked, he says. Not only, he says, from earth to heaven, but it goes to the highest level. Reb Chaim points out, he says, "Ma'ore b'kol devarim shaloi ad le'elo u'le'elo." His words of tshuva, he says, will reach the loftiest spiritual heights above. The loftiest spiritual heights above. Those words of tshuva. Those words of vidui. The geirim. Now, and what happens as a result? Okay, so his words, his confession goes all the way up to Shemayim. What's it do? What's it accomplishing? What's it achieving? These words of tshuva go up to the Shemayim, all the way up, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and becomes a vehicle to bring down, additionally says, forces of Kedusha. He says, V'goyrim, and those words cause, She'yis'atzel to'yisefetz Kedusha memenu yisbarach shemoy. Those words cause a flow of additional Kedusha to emanate from Hashem himself. And where does it go? Where does that flow of Kedusha go? It goes to the root of his neshama. Let's remember, at this point, he defiled his nefesh. His ruach is intact, his neshama is intact. But how does his nefesh become revitalized? Through the words of tshuva. Now, this is the roadmap. His words of tshuva go le'elo le'elo, go all the way up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they extract forces of kedusha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which goes into the root of his neshama. Let's remember, the neshama has a root. So when we talk about neshama, the root is even higher. So what happens is, those forces of Kedusha that is now being extracted from Hashem himself, goes into the root of the neshama. From there, from the root of the neshama, the root feeds the neshama itself. And the neshama being connected to Ruach, those forces of Kedusha continue, go down into Ruach, and Ruach now feeds it into Nefesh, revitalizes Nefesh. That is the roadmap how the tshuva works, to heal, bring back healing and spiritual uplifting back, to bring the nefesh that has been torn away and has been dejected and has been defiled, to be able to become one again with its old connection, the threesome, nefesh, ruach, and neshama. That's our Reb Chaim as you see it in so many words. He says it very clearly. Let's go further. I just explained it a little bit ahead of time. Reb Chaim says again that the Tosefes Kedusha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Tosefes Kedusha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says. And where does it go? It goes at Shoyrish HaNeshama, Tchila. First it reaches the root of the Neshama, which is even higher than the Neshama. The root is way up there. Umisham, and from the root, where does it go? Those new forces of Kedusha, where does it go? It goes to Nishmosai, to the Neshama proper, Veruchai, and to Ruach, the Spirit, and Voharuach. And now he says, his Ruach, Mavhik Oiroi Hagodol. Listen to this. The Ruach then conveys this great light to the Nefesh element. The Nefesh element is ultimately which needs the healing in this case. So the Ruach conveys this tremendous light to the Nefesh element of the soul. V'haruach Mavhik Oiroi Hagodol HaNishpa Olav. The tremendous light that Ruach received from the Neshama, that received from the root of the Neshama, right? That received, that emanated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So it goes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu into the root of the Neshama. From the root of the Neshama, all of this Kedusha goes into the Neshama itself. Neshama proper. From the Neshama proper goes into Ruach. And from Ruach, the Ruach shines and releases this tremendous light into the Nefesh element. He says, Gam, he says, it goes also into Bechinis HaNefesh. It goes down into the Bechinis HaNefesh. says mitzad his kashrus because they are connected. Shenishar adayin b'neim. Let's remember, because even under the worst of circumstances, nefesh still was somewhat connected to ruach. How did we show it? Keser, through keser. All that was removed, the most that was removed is the nine levels of nefesh was removed, the lower nine. But even after the removal of the lower nine, nefesh still remained connected to ruach, which means it's still able to receive from ruach, because through the medium of keser, which is the peak of nefesh, right? Through the peak of nefesh, which is keser, it is still connected to ruach. So therefore, nefesh is always ready and able to receive from ruach. So when ruach receives that tremendous avalanche of kedusha, the tremendous force of kedusha from the neshama, who received it from the root of the neshama, who received it directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his tshuva, started with tshuva, right? So when ruach gets it, when ruach has it, ruach now is in contact with nefesh, right, through the keser portion. So now the ruach releases all that tremendous kedusha, forces of light of kedusha, into nefesh. He said, and what does it do? At that point, what it does is it erases all the forces of evil that nefesh has. The spiritual light, the spiritual force that is now being transmitted from ruach into nefesh. He says, lechalois, he says, to destroy. He says, this will destroy, he says, ulahosem, and to make complete. To destroy, he says, ha-koiches hora u-madreges atumen. This will basically, it will destroy, he says, every last trace of the forces of evil and impurity. It will erase it. Ulahoitzi mi-mazger osir kol bechinoiseo. The nine bechinas that were lost, it will now release from the grip of the shells of evil. Because the nine, what happens when it was cut off, when the nine madregas were cut off, karis. You know what happens? It goes into the klipois. Klipois are the shells of evil. It's like trapped, like imprisoned. But now through this tremendous new surge of force of kedusha, that ruach shines and releases upon nefesh. So now that those forces of kedusha goes and penetrates the lower nine that had been defiled and are, as we said, trapped. And they are trapped in the grip of the shells of evil. So now they become purified and become erased. All of the traces of evil where it was encased and smothered it till now. The lachzor, and as a result now, it nefesh can come and turn back, go back again to its original state. Lachzor ulekashrom kabarishoinon bechinas ruach. And the mele, it goes back to its previous bond with ruach, is restored through the medium of tshuva. So this is the way the Nefesh HaChaim tells us, this is the roadmap, this is what takes place. We don't see it, we don't know. These are things behind the scenes. Everything that happens within our spiritual body, that with our neshama, with our nefesh, with our ruach. These are elements we don't know. So this is being revealed to us by Reb Chaim here, Nefesh HaChaim, this is what happens. So this is the connection, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, even under the worst of circumstances. Nefesh, the keser of nefesh, always remains intact with ruach. It's only the lower nine that can be destroyed temporarily or can be removed and can be, as we said, separated and severed. But when you do tshuva, the tshuva goes all the way la'elo la'elo. The vidui devarim is an imke deliba, which comes from the depth of one's heart. And those words go up to Shemayim and bring out forces of kedusha from Hashem himself. Spiritual energy, kedusha, purity. Which is piped into the shayrish, into the root of the neshama. That's the pipeline. Those are the tracks. That's the way it goes. To the root of the neshama, into the neshama proper. Neshama makes contact with ruach. And then ruach releases all of that energy into nefesh. And then is able to restore and bring nefesh back. And now you have the threesome again, the bond back. Nefesh, ruach, and neshama. So this is level number one. This is level number one, how the stain from nefesh is removed. Now Reb Chaim goes on further. And Reb Chaim now talks about how do we remove damage to ruach. Let's remember, damage to ruach, that's done through speech. Because ruach corresponds to speech, as we said. And machshava, let's remember, is neshama. Machshava is keneged neshama, corresponds to thought, process, that corresponds to the element of neshama. So now Reb Chaim is referring to how are we able to remove damages to the ruach. Reb Chaim says, "V'chein im pogam v'kilkul." If a person was pogam v'kilkul, he says, "B'chines ruach ruchay chaz v'sholom." If a person really was pogam, a person really caused damage to the bechina. The person caused damage to the bechina of his ruach. And again, as we already learned many times, that this is through the bechina. This is through the bechina of speech. To the koyach of speech, he can cause damage to that. What happens is, this can take place either Again, this takes place either by using his mouth, by saying words, slander. You slander someone. Again, this is also min ha-Torah. So of course, this will cause damage to the ruach. Oy bishar avoinois, or other averis hatluim, which are contingent bebechinas ruach, or other types of averis, which basically that blemish his ruach. And Reb Chaim points out, more than anything that can blemish your ruach, he says, ubitl Torah keneged kulam. The neglect of Torah study. He says, wanton neglect. And that's wanton neglect. You have time, you're able to learn, and you're just not interested, you're just not learning. And by the way, learning can be done on any level. Any level is called learning, according to a person's ability. So a person shouldn't think, I don't have the ability to learn, deep subjects or very complicated subjects. You don't have to learn complicated subjects if that's not where you're at. But any type of level of learning, learning is learning. Torah is Torah. So therefore he says, the Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. Talmanoyev keneged kulam. So it's not only as we see dvar and betalim, actually actively using your speech wrongly, but even sitting back doing nothing. Doing nothing means not learning, bitl Torah. That could also damage your ruach. And he says, keneged kulam. Can be more than anything, he says. More than anything, that is something that is able to damage one's ruach, he says. He goes further. And vihigbir, as a result, he empowers. So now what happens, if you damage your ruach, know what you're doing? Not only you're damaging and tarnishing your ruach, but vihigbir, you are empowering in contrast. But now you are empowering the forces of impurity. So you're making it even doubly worse. Not only you're not simply just tarnishing ruach, but you're adding forces of tumah, forces of evil, forces of impurity upon yourself. And by the way, if ruach becomes tarnished, so nefesh becomes affected. It's the neighbor, it's the immediate neighbor. Nefesh is lower than ruach. So even if you didn't do something to directly cause damage to nefesh, but by damaging ruach, nefesh also becomes lowered in its madrega, has a dissension. He says, v'oz gam nafshoy eina shleima kemikedet. And therefore, as a result, it says, even his nefesh also is also affected. Why? Because it receives, why? Kihi mikabela shefa chiyusa v'oira al yidei haruach yidua. Because as we pointed out a number of times, nefesh receives its vitality from his ruach. And if his ruach is damaged, is weakened, then his nefesh is weakened. So if his ruach is weakened, that automatically affects his nefesh as well. Says Reb Chaim, so what does a person do in order to rectify his ruach? And you're going to notice that Reb Chaim says in the process of tshuva, ruach is a higher level than nefesh. It needs a little bit more. In other words, vidu devarim that we mentioned before is not simply enough when it comes, which is, we said, verbal confession, even with the intent, as we said, to do tshuva. But when it comes to rectifying your nefesh, Reb Chaim basically gives us sort of like a regiment of three things he mentions. And these are the following, he says. Hine, number one, he says, al yidei hacharota amitis b'leif. The first thing, a person has to have true remorse. That is the first thing. A person has to have genuine remorse, right? And tshuva. And as a right, that's the one thing he says. Ayidei hacharota mitis b'leiv. Not only that, it's not just that he had genuine remorse. Umismarmar al goydel chetoy. It means that the truth is that he davens and he bemoans his fact. He verbalizes the pain of his chet. He cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Yisrael, help me. Help me purify myself. Help me restore my spiritual standing. Mismarma means he expresses his tsar. He davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be'inyan, ke'inyan, as we see, as it says in Echo. In Echo we find, it says, Soak libo mel Hashem. That he cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In addition to that, Umeharer hiruri tshuva b'machshova. And of course, he has to have thoughts of tshuva in his mind, because the mind, again, that's the resting place. Remember we said that a person gleans sparks of the neshama hovers over him, he gleans sparks. Where do those sparks, when he gleans those sparks, where do they rest? They rest in the mind. He says, Shehi mishkan, because that is the resting place, nitzutzei or haneshama, that's the mind. And therefore, the mind has to be purified. That has to be purified. So therefore, the person has to have all of these things. He has to have charota. He has to have tzo'oka. He has to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has to have the hirhuri tshuva. He has to have the positive, he says, machshavas, thought process, in terms of purifying himself. As a result, me'oire gamken le'elo, as we said before. So now when you have the tshuva in process, so now we go back like benefish. Where it happens, the tshuva process goes all the way up to Shemayim. The tshuva process goes all the way up. way, way up high. And again, lahashpia techilas, right? Lahashpia techila toisefes kedusha ve'oir al shayrush neshama. Going back like before, that the tshuva causes an increased kedusha to flow to his shayrush neshama, to the root of his neshama. Then the same seder, the same roadmap goes again, repeats itself the same way. U'mishom l'nishmosoi, from there to his neshama. V'him avhekes, and once it's in neshama, neshama has contact with ruach. So neshama releases that tremendous force of kedusha, ziv oira, the tremendous spiritual light. The tremendous spiritual light of kedusha is now being transmitted, he says, to ruach, as he says, the tremendous kedusha shenishpa leo that neshama received, right? He now transmits it gamal b'chinas ruach. One more thing a person needs: a broken heart. Ziv chelakim. You need hachnoah. You have to be humble in front of Hashem. The proper one of the key elements, in addition to what we mentioned, you have to have charota. You have to have remorse. A person has to have tzo'oka, cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you have to stand humbly before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zivche lekim ruach nishbara. What is the true carbon? The true sacrifice is the broken heart. You have a broken heart, he says, nothing can accomplish the extent of a broken heart. Vishoiver koyach ruach hatuma. He says a broken heart, he says, will break the spiritual contamination. The spiritual contamination that was brought to ruach will become shattered, he says. Will become literally become shattered, umetaher bechines ruach hakodosh, and now it becomes purified, right? Becomes purified, liskasher bechines anshom kibetchile, to allow ruach again to make contact with neshama as it was prior to sin, right? And to become reattached to his neshama in perfect union as before, as he says, umishama mele yushpa gamal nafshoy, and when he's successful with ruach, that will automatically also have the positive effect on the nefesh, because we said nefesh was automatically affected from ruach. La'ashlima b'shleimusa harishin, to restore it to its original shleimus, to its original completeness. So therefore, we have now, this is again ruach, how the tshuva mechanism works regarding ruach, in order to be able to remove, again, right, to remove the stain from ruach. Now, he points out, machshav, as we know, thought, is corresponds to neshama. If a person allows impure thoughts to remain in his mind, it's not just that his mind is polluted, his mind became contaminated, but that can have an effect on one's neshama, which is the highest level as well. What do you mean has effect on neshama? The neshama cannot be tainted. What it means is, he removes his ability to glean from the sparks, as we said, of kedusha that comes from neshama. Because let's repeat again, neshama is something that hovers over the person. It's no longer contained within the body of the person, because after the chet of Adam Rishon, it was removed. And Reb Chaim Volozhin told us a number of prokim back, only Moshe Rabbeinu was the one, even after the chet of Adam Rishon, who elevated and purified his body to the extent that his neshama was contained. Neshama, which is the highest level, was contained within his body. That's why Moshe, again, is called Moshe Ish Elokim, as Nefesh HaChaim pointed out. But otherwise, all people in general, their neshama is no longer contained within their body, their physical body, but it hovers over the person's head, allowing a person to glean from the sparks of kedusha. But if you have impure thoughts, thought process corresponds to neshama, you are blocking and creating a barrier from being able to glean from the sparks of kedusha, from the holy sparks that the neshama is able to bestow upon you. So now you have to rectify that as well. So comes Reb Chaim and continues. And he says, V'chein m'chotah chaz v'sholom b'machshova sheloi tohoira. If a person sinned chaz v'sholom by harboring impure thoughts, and we already learned once, he said, from one of the Sifri Musar that pointed out, and this is something you mentioned all, we are human beings, and as a result of being human beings, it is just inevitable that from time to time you're going to have all kinds of thoughts, which we refer to as impure thoughts. That's not what a person is going to be indicted for. What a person is going to be indicted for is not making an attempt to try to get rid of those thoughts. That's what the person is indicted for. The fact that all kinds of thoughts come to a person's mind, person has human nature, and you have various thoughts that will come by its very nature, because this is what we are. We have these thoughts, and we have this nature as the Kodesh Baruch Hu created us with this. However, we also have the ability, and we have to use the forces and the tools available to us. And the more kedusha that we acquire in our lives will give us the tools and the ammunition to be able to be more successful in banishing those thoughts and ridding ourselves of those thoughts. But we're talking about a person who allows those thoughts to remain and just keeps living with those thoughts. So, v'cheinim chotechaz v'sholm b'machshova sholei tohera, v'goram b'zeh, as a result, what did he cause? V'goram b'zeh, if he sins by having impure thoughts, he causes she'itztalku me'olof, to remove from him nitzutzei zoyhar nishmosoi. By sinning by impure thoughts, what he causes is that the radiant sparks of the neshama element which hovered over his head to depart. That's what he's causing. Right? So he's causing the radiant sparks. The radiant sparks that were hovering over his head through the impure thoughts of machshava, he's causing them to depart. Shehoi sadheino, because till now, before he sinned, till now, behiloi neiroi alei roishoi, it's a pasuk in Iyev. Till now, so to speak, his lamp would shine over my head. It's an expression, the spiritual lamp. So the spiritual sparks would be shining over his head. That's until he sinned. But now that he sinned with impure thoughts, so now he caused, right? He caused them to depart. So what do you do? How do you rectify that? What is the etzer? What is the medium? What is the recipe? What is the prescription of restoring those nitzotzes, those radiant sparks? Impure thoughts. How do you rectify impure thoughts? Do tshuva on that. That is Torah. Because you know why? Torah is in the mind. And therefore, if one sins with the mind, you need an exercise, kedusha in the mind. What is the ultimate kedusha that a person can fill his mind with? That's with Torah. There is nothing that has more kedusha in any level. That is Torah, learning Torah. When a person learns Torah, you're sanctifying, you're consecrating your mind. You're being mekadesh your mind. And therefore, if the Avera was machshavos loy tohoyrois, so the way to rectify that is to put positive machshavos, kedushadige machshavos. And what is the best way and the highest level and the greatest way, the strongest way, the most perfect way of bringing machshavos tohoyrois into one's mind? Not just simply machshavos tohoyrois, but which have purifying powers. Torah has purifying powers. It's inherent in Torah. The Torah purifies. Torah is like a mikveh. And therefore, he says, Ozal yideh esek ha-Torah bebina yiseyre. By putting in a lot of mind, not learning superficially, Chaim says. You open something, just learn it on the surface with thought. No, that's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. You have to really put your mind into it. You have to sink your mind into it. It's like when somebody wants to figure out, right, wants to solve a mathematical problem, right? He knows he must have to sit maybe an hour to try to figure out. He's going to sit and make sure that nothing else bothers him, nothing distracts him. You have to use your mind to delve into the depth of Torah. Using it right to the maximum of your ability. You have to immerse yourself totally in Torah. When a person immerses himself totally in Torah, so now you bring back the holy sparks of the neshama, right? So now he basically arouses. She is atzel to emanate toisefes kedusha al shoyer shemosoi. So again, now the roadmap begins. So now again, all the Torah that he learns, again, goes all the way up to Shemayim, brings forces of Kedusha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It goes to the root of his Neshama. From the root of the Neshama, again, it makes its way, as we learn, Mishom LeNishmosoi. So there it goes to the Neshama. Lahachzira, in order now to restore the spiritual light, the spiritual spark, Shetoyer Olav Oira. In order that the light of the Neshama should be able again, that the light of the Neshama should be able again to bestow holiness upon the person. So Memele, through totally immersing himself in Torah, he brings back the holy sparks of the Neshama, which enables him now look what happens. He profits also above and beyond. Not only he purifies himself, he purifies his mind that was contaminated, but not only that, the fact that he studied Torah, and now through the Torah he purified his mind, he will now get a bonus that his mind becomes elevated to have the ability to understand the mysterious portions of Torah to a greater depth than till now. In other words, if there was any area of limitation in learning, he will have now even a greater ability to understand Torah once he went through this process of tshuva. Here again, the koyach of tshuva. Tshuva not only brings you back to square one, it brings you even to a higher level. This is what Reb Chaim says, that what happens now, lahaskiloi, it will give these forces of energy that will come of Kedusha, that will come to the root of his neshama, from the root of his neshama to his neshama, lahaskiloi, to give him seichel, betoira hagdoisha, bebina yeseire. Hear that? Bebina yeseire, with an extra understanding. With an extra understanding, besisre, he says, tohireo, to understand the mysteries of Torah that he didn't understand even before. And now, Once the neshama again is infused with Kedusha, you now have the ability to glean the sparks of Kedusha, because you've done this tshuva through Torah, you've done tshuva through Torah. So now from this Kedusha, he says, v'ho'er, from this Kedusha and from the light of these sparks, this will now emanate further. It'll go down to Ruach, because the Shomas can take connected to Ruach. That's the way the roadmap goes. It goes from step to step, from state, level to level. When Mishtalchel, and it lowers itself, V'nishpa Gamal, Ruchoy, V'nafshoy, these sparks will radiate down to his Ruach, down to his Nefesh, L'hashlimon B'shleimosom, in order to restore them, fully. So I just want to point out to you that what Rebbe Chaim says in the next piece, and if you go back to the sheet I want to show you, so now we can go back to the sheet, actually. Look at the last page of the sheet. We'll go through it a little bit. And that is, in Kabbalah, there are considered to be, basically, you know, there are thousands of worlds up there. But those thousands of worlds are divided into four worlds. Starting from the higher to low. If you take a look here, we take a look at the four worlds. As we see here, Kabbalah teaches us that the totality of existence composed of four worlds in descending order. Okay, the first one, the upper, the most high, is called Atzilus, called the world of emanations. Then there's the world of Bria, that's one lower, the world of Bria, creation. Then the third world is the world of Yetzirah, formation. And then the Olam Ho'asiyah, action. Our world is the lowest world. Our world is the world of Asiyah. In Kabbalah, there's the Rosh HaTevis. It's called Abia. Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin. Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin. Aleph is Atzilus. That's the highest world. The world of emanations means that's the world that's closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one world. Then comes Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin. Beis is Bria. The Yud is Yetzirah, the world of formation. And then you have the Ayin, which is the word of Asiyah. So you take it very quickly on the sheet as we see it here. So we see here that in the Kabbalistic literature, the four worlds are generally referred to by the acronym Abia, Aleph Beis Yud Ayin. And these worlds can exist only because Hashem has made room for them. In other words, this was necessary because when the divine radiance shines in unrestricted brilliance, nothing else can exist. And so Hashem has withdrawn and hidden his all-pervasive self, allowing the physical universe to come to being. In other words, Kabbalah believes the following. You realize that Hashem is Meloi Kol Eretz Kavodo. Hashem permeates, he's everywhere. So ask the question. If Hashem fills the entire universe, everything, beyond, everything, so where's the space that he created this world? So where's the space? If Hashem fills every, occupies, if there's no place, this is the Lashon of the Zohar, Leis Asar Ponimenei, there's no place, there's no Mokim without the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then we have a problem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually permeates and exists everywhere, right? Everywhere. So where is this world created? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, as is said in Arizal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Metzamtzim himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually withdrew or contracted himself, as it were, in order to make space that the world should exist, and even in the world, there is, of course, reflections of Hashem everywhere. But in a certain sense, Hashem retracted. That's what's mentioned over here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically, he withdrew. He withdrew in order to allow, so all those places where Hashem placed a world here, a world there, and another world, and another world, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed himself, as it were, removed himself, was Metzamtzim, contracted himself, to allow in that space. Now, if we go further, so descending from the higher to the lower worlds, as you go lower, Hashem is concealed more and more. In other words, the higher we go, Hashem is revealed more and more. The lower we go, this world is the lowest world. Therefore, Hashem is concealed. It means, therefore, there's the ability to deny Hashem. This is the test of man. Had Hashem been openly revealed, then of course, then there's no need to have a world with people in it, because then everything is open. You know there's God. You know there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and there's no test. There's nothing. So the lower, of course, that the worlds go gradually between the four worlds, as pointed out. The radiance of Hashem is most evident in the world of emanation, which is the most upper world. And it's almost completely obscured in the world of action. That's our world, which is our world. Which means that the creatures of the higher world, like the angels, the malachim, you have oifanim, srofim, and chayis, they are more like Hashem, and they are closer to Hashem. So they, of course, malachim can more clearly perceive the divine light. By contrast, inhabitants of the world of action, meaning man, our world, we are separated from Hashem by a massive barrier of corporeality, right? We are material beings. So this barrier effectively shuts out the divine radiance and leads many people to doubt or even deny the existence of a creator, of course. And they delude themselves to thinking that they are masters of the world. They take the cue from Paroi, right, who was the archetypical atheist who proclaims the Pesuk in Yecheskel. Paroi said, "The Nile is my own, I made it myself." It's only when disaster struck in the form of the 10 plagues, the 10 makos, did Paroi see the light. And then he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem HaTzadik, right? Hashem is just, Vaniva Ami Rishoim, right? That's what Paroi said. So now, what am I making this point here? Making the point is, because now we'll appreciate it, we have these four worlds. We are so far removed from the Olam HaTzilus, from the upper world. That's the one that's closest to Hashem. This is the lowest world. The lowest world in which Hashem is mostly hidden from. Reb Chaim says in the next few lines, that we're just going to take another 2 or 3 minutes. Reb Chaim says in the next paragraph, when you say, Omen Yehesh Mei Rabba, he says, you have an idea what you accomplish. It goes and breaks through all the way to the upper world. We're now in this lowest, lowest world. But the power of Omen Yehesh Mei Rabba, he says, empowers and fills in. And forces of Kedusha emanate, he says, into all the worlds. Those worlds that we Bechlal have no shaykhs with, that we have no connection with from us, from the standpoint of this world being so far removed. And yet, we impress by the ways that we are able to say, but this particular, Omen Yehesh Mei Rabba, is a tremendous force. Look at the Roshan of Reb Chaim. L'chein Omru Chazal. And therefore Chazal have told us, that he says, if someone says it with all his power, it means with all his kavana, according to some opinions. Some say they should say it loudly as well. When you say, you're gizardin. If there's a sentence looming over your head, you're able to tear every bad sentence by saying, even more, the Gemara says, by saying, with kavana, Kosh Baruch will forgive you even if you have traces of idolatry. Kosh Baruch will forgive you. Of course, it means you want to do tshuva, of course. But the power of Omen Yehesh Mei Rabba. Ki ikra kavona zeh ha-shevach, because what is the purpose, the kavona of this type of praise? Well, this praise basically is, it's like a key. You have to imagine like this. Imagine you have in Shomayim, way up high, you have a tower that's filled with Kedusha, but it's locked. If someone would have a key to open that door, and all of a sudden you open the door, and all the inside, he said, all the force of Kedusha would just force, pressure themselves out, would just be pushed out. What is the key that opens up the towers of Kedusha and Shemayim? It says, Omen Yehesh Mei Rabba, happens to be that formula. He's telling you, like, today we have codes, right? You push buttons. You push the buttons and the door opens, the lock opens. Now, this Omen Yehesh Mei Rabba is the push button. Say, Omen Yehesh Mei Rabba, so the push button to bring out tremendous forces of Kedusha, which will fill all the four worlds that we just learned about. And here's what Reb Chaim says it. Kiikar kavona zeh ha-shevach, again, she is atzil to emanate by saying this praise, it causes to emanate v'yushpa toisefes brocha v'shifas oyer elyon. A tremendous, he says, a tremendous hashpo of the upper light, the chol adalad oylemus abia, what we just learned about. Saying Omen Yehesh Mei Rabba fills with Kedusha, with holiness, all the four worlds, even though we're so far down, we're in this lowest world. But nevertheless, by saying in this world, Omen Yehesh Mei Rabba, we fill all the upper worlds. V'zehu, now you'll understand, a new understanding. Do you ever realize what you say? Listen to what you say. Omen Yehesh Mei Rabba Mevorach, Hashem's name should be blessed. Le'olam, le'olmei, olmayo. You're repeating, oylam, oylam, oylam. What is the meaning? Look what Reb Chaim says. What you're saying is as follows. That let HaKadosh Baruch Hu fill this world, the upper world, the world in between. As he points out, Yehesh Mei Rabba Mevorach Hainu, which means she is atzel, they should emanate brachah v'tesefes kedusha, in addition kedusha, memenu is baruch shemai, Kadosh Baruch Hu should bring out kedusha from himself, where to? Ad le'olam, le'olam is the first, the highest world, that's the olam atzilis, that's the world of emanation, umisham gam le'olmei, that's plural, that's the next two, that's olam bria and olam yetzira, that's the other two, and beis olam is bria yetzira, and then we say olmayo, Lo'olam ol'olmei ol'mayo. That's the final world. That's our world. So you see, the reference to all the four worlds are mentioned in Omen Yehesh Mei Rabba. Yehesh Mei Rabba, we have reference to olam ol'olmei, plural, that's two, ol'mayo. Reference to olam o'asiyah, this is our world, the world of action. And you know what Reb Chaim tells us? Those four worlds correspond to the four levels of our soul, of our neshama. Why? We have the Shayrish neshama. The root, we have the neshama, we have the ruach, we have the nefesh. These four worlds, says Reb Chaim, correspond. The heim shayrish. In other words, these four worlds are the root of hadale dargin of the four madregish ol ha'odom. Shayrish ha'neshama, that's one. V'naran is v'nefesh, Ruach Neshama. So Shairish is one, Vinaran, three. Nun, Resh Nun, Nefesh Ruach Neshama, he says. Ukshimachamod, and look what happens. When a person has in mind, if he says it with kavonet, when you don't just say the words, when you say Omen Yesh Me Rabu, you say it with intent. Bikidusha, with holiness. Bikidusha is machshavtoi. By saying this praise, what you cause a tremendous benevolence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows toisefes kedusha brocha al shoris neshmasoi. Your own neshama, first of all, becomes filled with kedusha. And from there, misham, first the root of your neshama. Again, this is the same roadmap. By saying Omei Yeshme Rabbe, not as the same way with tshuva causes. Tshuva causes, it brings out kedusha from shemayim, down to the root, from the root to the neshama, the neshama to ruach, the nefesh. Omen Yesh Merabba accomplishes the similar thing, same roadmap as Tshuva has. Just in general, Omen Yesh Merabba. Whenever you say Omen Yesh Merabba, you are bringing back, you're bringing back containers and containers of Kedusha back to your being, he says. What you have is, you're bringing Kedusha and Brocha to the Shayush Nishama, Mishama al Nishmosoi, Veruchoi Venafshoi. And Goyron Bazeh. And so if you bring so much Kedusha, so any sin that you might have had just disappears. It becomes dissolved in the abundance of so much Kedusha that your being is being filled with, your nefesh, your ruach. Therefore, it says, Goyron Bazeh lehosim olechalei kol ovin v'cheit ashechoto. Therefore, it wipes out, it erases any chet that you achoite be'ezeb b'chin emelu agimu. In any level of these three, nefesh, ruach, neshama, make a difference. Because you have filled all three levels, filled with a tremendous force of Kedusha. For hoyu kloy hoyu, all your averus as if non-existent. They never were, never existed. V'zeh kol ikar inyan ha-tshuva ha-mitis. And that's exactly the same thing that with tshuva works. V'chein moichel noy al-kolav anoysav. There's a lot to talk about, I think it's enough for now, for one. But we have a little bit of an idea to see what's going on, Rabbi Yisrael, behind the scenes. There's tremendous things happening here. And we have no idea every time we say a word. But we should understand that kol oymen omen yesh me'rabo. Again, if we didn't think that the great powers of omen yesh me'rabo, even though we thought we know something, but now we have an idea of what tremendous turmoil every time you say omen yesh me'rabo, what it causes in all the four worlds in Shemayim, but best of all for ourselves, all of the four madregas within ourselves, the Shoyrish Nishama, the Nishama Ruch of Nefesh, becomes elevated, and we are zoichet to moichin le'kolav anoysa. We should take advantage of it.